thank you for blessing us with that today. The wondrous cross. I about say amen and we can go on home, but I got to get my money's worth today. Told Dan and Lynn a little earlier that didn't need to worry about me preaching too long today, that if I preach long, because see, I've already done sunrise service this morning, I'd be getting into overtime and folks couldn't afford my overtime. But it's a wonderful day to be here and to hear God's Word in song and hear it shared that way. So I want to take a few minutes, though, and share a little bit with you. Talk about passage in John. I read a little bit of it with the kids. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Title of the sermon is, He Saw and Believed. Now, before I read the Scripture, though, I just want to just... Have you ever heard the saying, a couple of sayings, beauty is in the eye of the beholder? One man's junk is another man's treasure. Now, these are a couple of sayings, old sayings, cliches, that point out the fact that there is more to what you see than on the surface so often. For some of us men folk, and I'm not or some men like me, and I'm not the only one, obviously, by looking around out here and at the men that are here. Some of us are pretty doggone lucky that our wives didn't take a look at what was first present and judge us by that. That they decided to take a second look at us, maybe at something that was a little more intangible or something a little less obvious, and see something that was maybe on the inside.
Amen.
About yourself, right? You're not talking about me. I heard Peggy amen that, so I know. The truth is that you just can't get the entire picture of someone or something with just a quick glance. Perspective, proximity, they influence how we see things and events. And when Mary, John, and Peter came to the tomb on that first day of the week, proximity and perspective played a huge role in what they saw and what they understood that morning at the empty tomb. Now, read with me as we look at this passage of Scripture. Notice one word in there that's repeated four times, at least four times that I'm thinking of. It's just the simple verb saw, S-A-W. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid Him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together and the other disciple outran Peter, came to the tomb first, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their homes. Let's pray. Father, may You bless this Word. May it open our hearts, and may it somehow transcend the centuries that have passed since it first happened. May it speak to us fresh and new today, Your living Word. May all that is spoken, Lord, be Yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage of Scripture here, those four times the word saw was used. The first two occasions it was used, and then once in the other two, there are three different Greek words that were translated into that into our one English word. Now I want to look at those words and the implications that they have on this story here this morning. As I said, that first time Saul was used, it was used in the two situations. In verse 1, describing Mary, that she saw that the stone had been taken away. And then in verse 5, it was used by the disciple that outran Peter to the tomb. John is who it's generally thought that this person is. There it says, he looked in and saw the linen clothes lying there. Now in this word, this particular Greek word that's used here, the emphasis on this word is in the actual physical act of seeing. Actually laying your eyes on something and seeing it in the physical sense. It stresses the position of the one who is seeing. Perspective, in other words, of the one who's seeing. Mary and John both were only looking at the obvious. They could only see what was just right there in front of them. The obvious things. The stone was moved. Jesus' body was gone. That was all they could see from that quick glance into the situation. This is the same word, interestingly enough, that Jesus used in Mark chapter 4, verse 12, when He was explaining to the disciples the purpose of teaching in parables. Do you remember this? He said, seeing, they may see and not perceive. It's the same kind of seeing. It's you actually see what's happening, but you just don't comprehend. There is no understanding. Mary and John, that morning, at that point, as they came to the tomb and that quick glance in, they saw, but they just didn't understand. Notice also at this point, that their lack of understanding coincides with the fact that they did not go into the tomb. They were on the outside looking in. Folks, you'll never learn the whole story of anything from the outside looking in. You take a book. You cannot learn what's happening, the whole story of that book, without opening the pages and getting in there. You might can read the back cover and get a general idea of a plot line or some of the high points of it, but you will not get into it and understand unless you read it. Law enforcement officials across the world, the main thing they do to infiltrate criminal organizations is to try to put someone undercover into the organization on the inside. That way they know what's going on. Folks, we will not know. No one can know what's going on in the body of Christ without first becoming involved in it, without stepping in. Someone on the inside, only someone on the inside, really has access to what is happening. So, at the beginning there, it was only something they saw, a glance. They saw it physically, but they didn't understand. The second word translated saw in this passage comes from verse 6. Where it says that Peter went into the tomb, he went in, notice, and he saw the linen cloths lying there. The Greek word used here means to look with interest, to look for a purpose. It's usually indicating a careful observation of the details that are there. Peter came into the tomb. You know, Peter was pretty brazen and bold. He was always first to shout off his mouth about something and to make promises he couldn't keep. But it had its good points and its good sides too, that type of personality. Because he did not faint at all about going directly into that tomb and see what was happening. He went in and checked things out thoroughly. He saw all the facts that were there. The Scriptures tell us no fact escaped him. He saw that it was empty. He saw the cloths lying there and the handkerchief folded neatly. Peter would probably have made a good detective. He saw and he grasped all the facts that were there. But the truth is, folks, is that it's possible to have all the facts and still not understand. Peter didn't understand. It's also true that facts do not always prove without a doubt the validity of something. Last month, most of you know here that Renee and I took a vacation, went to Florida, did a lot of fun things. But one of the things that probably I enjoyed as much as anything was going to the Kennedy Space Center. See, I grew up in the days when NASA was putting men on the moon, space shots, and it was big news. You know, they interrupted whatever was going on when a launch took place, or as one of the landing craft circled the moon or was about to land on the moon. It was big stuff. It was stuff we talked about. They rolled the TV out in school during the day if it happened, and you were able to watch. And back in those days, we didn't have TVs in every room. It was a big thing to do that. When we were there, I saw at Florida at the Kennedy Space Center, I was able to see the artifacts and relics left over from those days of Apollo when NASA was in its heyday, I suppose you could say. It was exciting to see because it brought back so many memories of sitting in front of the TV and watching Walter Cronkite broadcast and tell the things that were going on and give the explanations, and Jules Bergman talking about the science aspects of it. And when we were there, we saw the actual truck, the little truck, the van that the astronauts rode from the space center out to the launch pad. I can remember seeing it on TV and watching it live as they were loading and unloading from that facility to get into the space capsule itself or into the launch elevator to ride up, how big it looked. No, but it was really just a little bitty thing. But I remember seeing those things. And folks, I can tell you in my heart of hearts, I believe that human beings walked on the face of the moon. Now, there are people still today that will say that it's all a conspiracy theory. And if you believe that, then that's fine. I'm not putting you down or anything. But I happen to believe that they did. But yet, talking to my children or talking to any of you who didn't experience it the way I did or many of us did, it's hard to prove that. I cannot prove that to you without a shadow of a doubt that men walked on the moon. But I know without a doubt in my heart that they did. I can't offer you proof positive, but I know that it happened. You may know all the facts of that first Easter morning, but if you choose not to believe, there's not anything I can show you or say to you that can prove the resurrection without a shadow of a doubt that would stand up as a scientific proof that it happened. The only proof I have that the resurrection really occurred is how the resurrection changed me. It's not like what, was it old Joe Friday from the TV series Dragnet used to say many years ago, just the facts, ma'am? It's not just the facts. It is seeing and applying and understanding the facts. Just seeing the facts isn't enough, folks. It wasn't enough for Peter. It's not enough for us. The third word that's used in this phrase, in this scripture that's been translated as saw, happened in verse 8 when it says, "The other disciple who came to the tomb first," again, John, "went in also, and he saw and believed." This word that's translated saw here in this particular passage refers to the visible appearance of things in contrast to the invisible things, which are objects of faith. This means that the believer is guided not only by what he beholds, what he sees physically with his eyes and the facts that are before him, but by what he knows to be true. If you really want to, you can make a case that calls into question the validity of the resurrection. When John first came to the tomb, he didn't know what to make of the situation. Then when he stepped into that tomb and saw the grave clothes lying where they were, he knew and believed. He saw the same facts that Peter did, but he was looking with more than just his eyes. He was looking with his heart, and at that instant he knew he trusted Jesus. Now, he didn't understand completely. Verse 9 tells us that, "For as yet they did not know the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. John didn't have to understand completely and totally and be able to diagram it with a mathematical formula or a scientific equation. John didn't have to understand. It was enough that he just trusted. He just trusted in Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that very same thing. I believe with all my heart, this is an example here, purely speculation. I believe with all my heart that my wife has been faithful to me from the time we've been married. I don't have any indication that it's been otherwise. I believe that with all my heart. But if I had to prove it to you by scientific means or without any kind of doubt, it'd be impossible to do because she's gone on business trips in the years that we've been married and been away from me. She's worked late at the hospital and been away from me. So yes, it's possible that it could happen, but no, I know it hasn't because I trust her. I don't have to have an accounting of every minute. I don't have to have proof of every second that she has spent. My trust of her is enough. Folks, you don't have to have all the facts. You just have to have faith. Believe, and the Holy Spirit will give you that absolute evidence that you desire. It will give you the assurance of salvation in your heart. It's not something you can purchase, not something you can grasp any other way other than by trusting. When John first came to the tomb, he didn't see very much. He was on the outside looking in. His belief didn't come until he stepped in, all the way in. I ask you this morning, what do you see at the empty tomb today? The invitation is to come in, all the way in. The view is great. See the risen Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning that the tomb was empty, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that He lives today so that we might have life. Lord, we honor You, we glorify You, and we praise Your precious name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our closing hymn this morning. He lives, and as we're singing, the ladies are going to take the cross and take it out as we do traditionally. And the choir, I think, is going to follow behind us as the cross goes out.